You're listening to Take That Radio, internet radio that doesn't suck. Coming up next on the Take That Radio Network.
On this week's Right This Way, Soledad O'Brien beclowns herself on CNN. We find out about the Keystone XL pipeline, and Andrew Lawton wins a very special award.
Don't touch that dial. You're locked on Take That Radio. Welcome to Right This Way, the weekly wrap-up show starring the hosts of Take That Radio. It's fun. It's enlightening. Looking for a common-sense point of view in this topsy-turvy world we live in? You found it, and the fun begins right this way.
Hello, listeners. Somehow you have found your way to installment number 47 of Right This Way. I'm Dwayne Lester. This is the first time I've driven this bus, and I have no responsibility whatsoever for what is about to happen. We have Andrew Lawton and Ben Swenson from Strictly Right, and we have Kimberly Haney and, God help us, Wendy Sullivan.
he knows you well, Wendy. He knows you well.
At this point, I'm going to sit back and watch the carnage unfold.
Well, you know, Dwayne, you're already way ahead of the game from when I drive this bus, because at least you got the name of Andrew and Ben's show right, which I invariably screw up. So, well done. See, you're already ahead.
Well, I aim to please. And after all, we all listen to each other's shows. And how could you even get that wrong? I'm not looking at girl on the right and thinking, what the hell is her name? Oh.
My favorite was when frequent listeners of Right This Way will know that when I was in a coma like a year and a bit ago, they all did a special tribute podcast for me hosted by Wendy. And she's talking about my show and she's talking about like memories from my show. And then I ask her when I get out of the coma, oh, I didn't know you listened. She's like, I've never heard an episode of my life.
I was good.
Oh, my God.
So you have Jimmy's on there and Mike's on there going, oh, yeah, well, you know, like Jimmy was like, oh, I remember when Andrew's was like this and this. And when he's like, yeah, I remember that, too. And she's like, she's never even heard an episode of it.
I am a professional of sorts and I can fake it with the best of them. So,
speaking of faking it, let's talk about this fake controversy that's come up that has been beaten. Yeah, how's that for a segue? I'm a professional.
That was nice.
Golf clap for Dwayne on that one.
Yes.
So we've got this manufactured crisis of misogyny that's going down in the United States, led, of course, by the perennial bad guy, Rush Limbaugh, who is somehow far more misogynist than the guy who calls Sarah Palin a dumb twat and worse. But this guy, this whole thing is pretty much a smokescreen, isn't it?
Oh, God. Well, first of all, I have to say that we're recording this on March 8th, which is International Worship the Vagina Day. So it's
now,
important
what's it really called? What is the name of this day, really?
International Women's Day.
Wendy,
is that with an E or with a Y?
With an E, but only because it dates back to communist times and is still celebrated hugely in Russia. I have friends that actually go over to Russia every year to take part in festivities for International Women's Day. It is a communist construct.
And that's this day in history with Wendy Sullivan.
Yes, and it has been brought to North America to talk about how women have made great strides in politics and business. But mostly what it's turned out to be is women moaning about how they haven't made great strides in politics and business. And there was actually an article
this morning.
Well, we'll get to that in a second.
I thought Wendy was going to be the first one to bust out, and you set it all up that way, Dwayne. And here you are, the first one out of the gate with the catch.
Oh, he's a sleeper.
Dirty Dwayne. There was an article this morning in the Toronto Star, pardon me for being Canadian. There was an article this morning talking about how minority women are not represented enough in business. Okay. Really? All right. Yeah, they're not holding high-end positions, which is hilarious because one of the largest companies in Canada is owned and operated by a woman, Heather Reisman, who runs pretty much our only book chain.
But is she a minority?
Well, she's a
Jew. Jewish.
No.
Okay.
Counts because, you know, the Jews are evil. So, you know, it's all messed up, but it's six of one, half a dozen of another. But basically they're talking about how minority women, blah, blah, blah. And of course they have to have studies, right? Here's the thing. If women, with or without a Y, but I think with a Y, decided to get MBAs or math degrees or business degrees or finance or understand the stock market or not say things like I'm too pretty for math like I do three times a day. If women decided to go forth and do these things instead of looking to create positions in grant-receiving gender baiting organizations that they create for no other reason than to moan publicly, maybe they'd have representation more in business. Just a thought.
It's funny actually because I've always seen this diversity trend. I mean, diversity in the workplace, diversity in politics as being a crock. I mean, there is nothing, and correct me if I'm wrong, ladies, but there is nothing that stops a woman from getting out of bed and saying, I want to be a congresswoman, or getting out of bed and saying, I want a job as an executive. I want to go into this.
Now, wait a minute, you misogynistic penis holder. Are you saying that all I do is lie in bed, which frankly is true, but are you saying that?
No. You do a lot more in bed.
Oh, yes, that's true. All right. So, I think the point we were trying to talk about is Sandra Fluck.
Okay. Everybody just loves saying her name. But I just want to go on record that this International Women's Day thing, today was the first time I have heard of this.
So and likewise.
I don't exactly live
That's because you're a sexist misogynist, Kimberly.
You're from the South.
I guess because I'm from the South, but I'm a fairly accomplished self-employed businesswoman. Thank you very much.
Oh, that's only because the patriarchy let you.
Okay, fine. Whatever. Okay. I just thought, this is the craziest thing. I have not heard of this, but okay, you want to give women a day internationally. And then I started hearing, you know, about the communist, you know, birth of this thing. And as soon as I hear the word communism, it's like, I tune completely out.
Yeah. So.
See, now Wendy and Kimberly, how does it make you feel that women get a day when black people get a whole month?
Oh, I hadn't thought about that.
I hadn't really either.
I'm going to have to go out and do a lynching tonight. You know that.
Wow. Whoa. Wow.
Was that luncheon or lynching?
Yes.
Both, okay. but no, seriously, this is the thing, because just, culture has this way of taking minorities and saying every minority needs more attention or needs more money or needs more support, and then society ranks minorities. I mean, we've seen it, Wendy, with the Canadian Human Rights Commission. Yes. Jews are oppressed, but if you pit a Jew against the Muslim takes priority.
Yes.
And we even see it when it comes to all these diversity days and all these awareness days as well. I mean, when push comes to shove, Black History Month is February, and then after everyone's all blacked out, it's Women's Day, March 8th.
Blacked out.
I love it.
Well, I mean, I have 12 months a year of blackness. I live in the ghetto.
At least I haven't started like a Twitter soap like you have, Wendy. Black people shouting.
Black people yelling.
Black people yelling, yes. It's Wendy's Twitter-based soap opera when she recites what happens in her apartment building.
It has a spinoff now. Poor people cooking. Because they invariably cook something greasy that sets off a smoke detector somewhere in the building. So the spinoff from Black people yelling is Poor People Cooking. Stay tuned on Twitter. It's Salacious Sully on Twitter. Tune in.
One thing that I think that needs to be pointed out is this indifference on the left, though, when you have even more vile attacks being lobbed against conservative women such as Palin and Bachman. And this video that just came out, I think it came out yesterday, that showed a freelance reporter talking with that vile, vile woman, Jan Schakowsky, and she wouldn't even comment on the fact that. And when I look at that, it reminded me of something else. It reminded me of how Clarence Thomas is treated, and Michael Steele, and J.C. Watts, and Herman Cain, and the things that are said about them.
True.
And you know, I just want to grab the protected classes and say to them, look, you are only important to them as long as you support their agenda. But the moment you step out of line, you are no longer worth protecting to them.
Okay, yeah. as the proud owner of one of the loveliest vaginas known to mankind, I'd like to speak to this topic of, you know, these special people. The left creates special interest groups as voter groups. They always have. They always will.
So identity politics.
Identity politics. It's always been there. So if someone is out there that looks like one of the identified classes – but is actually exposing the identified classes for what they really are, which is a money grab, then of course they're going to get into trouble. So what we need to do is stop identity politics. There shouldn't be a congressional black caucus. There shouldn't be a women's caucus, and you know what I want to call a women's caucus. And we shouldn't have these things. They shouldn't exist. If we have equality in North America, then we don't need all these little touchy-feely gender and identity politics groups. Like the Southern Poverty Law Center is really nothing but a front for blacks. Do we need all these little groups that just come out and serve no other purpose except to yell and scream and moan for more money?
Well, that's what the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People does on a regular basis.
Yeah, and they haven't even changed their name, but they won't let us call them that.
Well, and the United Negro College Fund as well, same thing.
Same thing. Mm-hmm. The idea that, you know, the United Negro College Fund made sense back when blacks weren't even allowed to go to regular schools. But now they are, which means they're getting the same education as your kids, as my kids, as Dwayne's 27 children. Okay? They're getting that education. So they don't need a special college fund anymore. They're eligible for the same scholarships that Whitey's kids are eligible for.
Well, and now affirmative action is actually being considered by the Supreme Court now. I mean, Ben and I on Strictly Right covered that a couple of weeks ago when that announcement came out. We had interviewed someone from Project 21, which is the Black Conservative Leadership Network. And she was hopeful about the direction things would go, but she was black. And she recognized that, like, I mean, look, she does not want affirmative action. She does not want to accomplish something because she's black. She wants to accomplish it because she can do it. And I'm not saying there aren't exceptions to this, but the vast majority of minorities don't actually care about the fact that they're minorities. They don't want this. It's white liberals that do.
Yes, of course.
It's white liberals that drive this stuff.
Look at Asians. Do you really think they need a group in order to get attention? They're out there making more money than you and I combined. They don't need a group.
And often, and when you look at these things, you have the unintended consequences of these moral busybodies who are out there saving everyone. You have people who are wholly unprepared for the position they've been launched into. And more often than not, when they find themselves in a college that they're not, you know, of the same level as the other students. Yeah, they're not qualified. They're not of the same level, the same caliber as the other students. They end up dropping out of college anyway and are far worse off than if they would have been allowed to just excel at their level.
Yeah, if you feign their success to get them to a certain point, you're not doing them any favors.
And I think Clarence Thomas spoke to that, too, in his book where he talked about how people would look at him as if he didn't deserve the spot that he had in college, but that it was given to him, and that always bothered him.
I think that's maybe less so today because there is more integration in the schools. And believe me, the integration hasn't come from, you know, the touchy-feely groups as much as it's come from politicians going forth and changing the Constitution.
But it's funny, I mean, Wendy, our other co-host might not know this, but Ontario, the province of Ontario, actually brought back segregated education a few years ago.
Yes.
They, in Toronto, created a black-only school.
A ghetto school. Yeah. Their idea was that blacks – and I'm going to paraphrase it in the way that I see it from the outside. Blacks aren't smart enough to go to school with the white kids. So they have to have their own school where everything's dumbed down to their level, which, as far as I'm concerned, simply reinforces racist stereotypes. All of these little touchy-feely groups reinforce stereotypes. The more you have these color minorities and gender minority groups coming out and speaking about how they want more and more stuff, you get more people pushing back going, why? Earn it, you lazy insert word here, whether it's, you know, a negative racial stereotype or a negative gender epithet. Doesn't matter. Insert word here. So, yeah, Toronto has these, they call them, get this, Afrocentric schools.
Yes.
Yeah, you can't make this
up,
kids. I'm
telling you, man, Canada, you guys make up the best names for stuff. it's amazing. It's like there's somebody up there in your government that just sits and thinks up this crap all day long.
Nothing will top the New York State Department of Compliance. Yeah, yes. Mark Stein was accused of being in non-compliance with the New York Bureau of Compliance. That's what it was.
Yes, he talked about that. Yes. But
wasn't there a school in California that started teaching Ebonics as an alternative to English because they didn't think that blacks should need to learn English?
And that was probably the 90s, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was in the 90s,
That was in Oakland,
that's it, yes.
That was back when they were naming kids Shaniqua. That's when it started back in the 90s. There were no Shaniquas in the 60s and 70s. They had the same names as everybody else. But then we had to start embracing all this.
That was before Kwanzaa caught on.
Exactly. Actually, interestingly enough, to bring this back to current events, I believe that a lot of this actually started with somebody who is in the news right now, Derek Bell.
Yes,
this is the guy who the Breitbart group has released a tape on. We released some audio on him last night on our show on Strictly Right. And this guy's ideas about race in the United States are so radical that liberal academia essentially said, we do not agree with this guy. This is too radical for us. Essentially what he said is, the United States of America is racist. It always will be racist. It cannot be fixed. Primarily because it was essentially created by white guys who had white guy thinking. And until we get some people with, quote, black thinking to help us create the country over, essentially, we can never be rid of sort of inequalities. And he advocated for race-based hiring without merit at all, as far as I understand. I mean, if you look
that explains the White House. Right there.
If you look up critical race theory and you I would not recommend Wikipedia, by the way, because there is a war going on that Wikipedia page right now. Look up critical race theory and understand that this isn't some guy that was in Barack Obama's past in 1991. This guy was a radical until the day he died. And he visited the White House in 2010, according to White House records.
So well, I don't see how
that the president.
I don't see how Derek Bell's words can be true, considering what Soledad O'Brien said on CNN, and she would be the authority. I mean, so clearly Derek Bell doesn't understand what Derek Bell thinks.
Well, and then he did. You know, so I guess the interpretation is up to the reader at this point. But I did hear somewhere on Twitter today that of course, you know, that's where I get my news, but I heard that she had actually read that Wikipedia page verbatim. So is that what you were talking about, Ben, that it's changing? It's like changing hourly?
Well, it's more than hourly. Yes, the page is changing. There are some people who have speculated that the producer put something in her ear that was almost a direct translation. It used some of the same words. It wasn't an exact word for word from Wikipedia, but it was close enough that it could have been. However, I don't even think that really matters because she apparently did actually like Derek Bell. Matter of fact, I saw some blogger had uncovered some older tweets of hers upon his passing, wherein she said, I'm going to reread XYZ by Derek Bell and recommend you do the same. What a great man, yada, yada, yada. So, you know, apparently she's actually a radical herself. So she's exposed herself, and Breitbart's strategy continues to work.
But yeah,
I'd like to have a moment of silence for him if this wasn't radio, honest to God. But the idea of Soledad O'Brien really put her foot in it. And just to clarify for those that haven't been glued to Twitter all day, did anybody actually see what she did with Breitbart's guy?
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
I did. Yes. I saw that.
It was both a disgrace and so overtly, it was so revealing of their
agenda. It was hilarious.
Yeah.
It was
and the guy too, the actor, the former B-list actor who came in and essentially accused Joel of being a racist, and
that's
Joel just laughed off.
That's the one. Yeah,
Joel is married to a South African woman whose mother apparently was friends with Nelson Mandela. I mean, she was like a civil rights icon in South Africa. And so this is sort of one of those liberal reflexes where they accuse you of racism when they can't think of anything else. And Joel just happened to be holding four aces when they pulled that out.
Basically, Jay Thomas, who was on a bunch of shows in the 90s as a character actor, and nobody remembers what they were, came out and said to Pollock that he was afraid of black people, to which Pollock replied, "You mean like my wife?"
That was just priceless. I'm sorry, I just loved it.
Fingers Malloy. I know you guys. I don't know if you all know Fingers Malloy.
Yeah,
trust me, Wendy knows Fingers.
You're impossible, Andrew. I try to behave.
He sent out a tweet last night that I read and I thought was very profound. And if Breitbart were alive, you know this would be this would be his plan. But his tweet was to the effect of, "I cannot believe the response from this video. It's as if you have all never seen Breitbart roll out a story before."
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know what I took that is, you know, he is setting all of you fools up.
Oh yeah. Yep.
And you are going to come out of this the worst. Exactly. And this must be the light stuff. And the stuff that's coming is the knockout punch.
You know,
I bet there's something to do with Bill Ayers.
Oh, there already is a connection. There already is a connection between Bell and Bill Ayers. They're friends. Bell, if you look into this critical race theory, I'm telling you, you've got to look it up. This is an anti-Semitic theory. There are serious problems with this. This guy was a good friend of Louis Farrakhan. I mean, this guy was wonderful. A radical, an unapologetic radical.
Ooh, that was
and the question then to me becomes, the question then, how did this guy shape Obama's opinions? Did Obama ever renounce this guy's opinions, which it looks like he hasn't? And how does that affect our current policy? Because, you know, for everybody who's saying this isn't a story, I'd like to know what influences our president's choices about policy. And I think that's the argument that's being made when it comes to Santorum about his religion. The same exact argument. We need to know what his beliefs are and how they might affect his policy decisions. I think the same standard should apply to Obama.
If he's encouraging everyone there to embrace the thinking of Derek Bell, to me that says he already has.
I was going to say, embrace his words.
Open your hearts and minds. Open your hearts and minds to the words of Derek Bell.
Yeah, okay.
Nice.
Well, you know, it is a very important thing that Breitbart's doing because he wasn't vetted. And this the fact that in this video you have, what was his name, Ogletree, saying we hid this in 2008.
Yeah, we.
why did it need to be hidden? If it's no big deal, if it's not a bombshell, then why did it need to be hidden?
Lot of laughing and finger pointing from the left about that today on Twitter. I don't know if
One Williams even said this on Hannity yesterday. He said the video wasn't explosive, and he's right. I mean, I was kind of, I don't even want to say bored watching the video. Like, it wasn't what I was expecting, but like you mentioned, Duane, about Fingers tweets, and like we've all seen with Breitbart stories, a la Wienergate, and with Acorn even, I mean, we're going to get more. We're going to get either other parts of the same video or hopefully different videos that show a long-term pattern of this, that show Obama's true radicalism.
Andrew Breitbart, or just to close out the segment, Andrew Breitbart did not know he was dying. He was ill, but he didn't know he was dying, unlike Steve Jobs. Okay? But the two of them managed to set their companies up for the next 5 years with a written plan.
Amazing.
It's beautiful.
It is.
All they have to do is follow the map, and fabulous things will occur.
And Ben Shapiro and Joel Pollack will do that. They've got quite the group leading this pack, and I just wish them the best of luck. I'm in.
Here's the thing, Andrew. We don't have to wait. We have information right now. If you go to Breitbart.com, there is information, an article entitled "Obama Forced His Students to Read Bell at the University of Chicago Law School."
Yes.
So we already know that this guy wasn't just sort of a passing influence. This guy was somebody that Barack Obama understood what he said and meant and wanted to pass along that information to others.
And the students themselves were a little bit shocked at what the I don't want to call him a professor. The man's an idiot. He shouldn't have a title of any kind, least of all president. But what their class leader was suggesting that they read, because they were saying flat out, this is a little bit over the top. What is this? Is this like a trick question? What are we reading here?
We have to wrap this first part up, and I know earlier we said that we had stuff to talk about in the second half, but honestly, my mind's been blank since I heard women moaning, so I don't know what we're talking about in the second half, but we're going to have 30 more minutes of this nonsense, so listen to this stuff and then come back.
It is with sound mind and body that I, James Fredericks III, after fighting with all direct family members for decades, leave my entire fortune of $32 million to the one friend I had in the end, the package delivery guy, Matt Sanger.
Woohoo! Yeah! I had a feeling about this. Uh-huh! I'm rich! Oh, this cannot be happening.
Actually, it's not happening.
What?
And it never will.
I don't get it.
There aren't even people here. That's just one of those murmuring sound effects.
Seriously?
Listen, if you want to have money in your future, don't rely on luck.
Huh.
Put $10 away each month. Cook once in a while instead of eating out.
Okay.
Pay down your high-interest credit cards.
Right.
Small changes today, big bucks tomorrow.
So, no inheritance?
No. Go to feedthepig.org for more free ideas.
Feedthepig.org.
This message brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
And just to be clear, no inheritance, right? You're gonna
fly. Hi, everyone. This is Reba McEntire for RAD. You know, I see a lot of funny things traveling all over this beautiful country of ours. But one thing that's not very funny is when someone gets in a car trying to drive when they're drunk. Take their keys away from them, because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Right this way. Someday, we'll look back at this administration, we'll laugh nervously, and then quickly change the subject.
Welcome back, everyone, to episode 47 of Right This Way. I'm Andrew Lawton from Strictly Right, and joining me on the line is my co-host from Strictly Right. His dulcet tone makes Wendy moan, Ben Swenson. And we have from the Brass Balls radio show, Kimberly Haney, and Wendy Sullivan, the one who is crasher than Limbaugh and sluttier than Sandra Fluck. So we thank her for being on. And Dwayne Lester from All-American Blogger and All-American Media and All-American other stuff.
He's just an All-American guy.
He is the Mr. All-American is being detained by police right now. We're not.
Is that really what he said during the break?
Yeah. What the fuck? Yes, basically what happened is his wife came to him and said, "Dear, could you get off your little radio show, because there the popo is at the door." So, yeah.
So Dwayne Lesher being detained by police right now.
Breaking news right here on Right This Way.
If we hear the loud shout of "Don't tase me, bro," we have a viral podcast on the way. But hopefully he'll be back at some point. You know, we don't actually know if he's the.
Well, but that's the headline for the podcast now, in which Dwayne Lester got arrested.
Live. I mean, you
live on the air.
I mean, any other time we've
it's
had
the first podcast, we're making history here, folks.
Any other time we've had handcuffs.
And now I bet that when
went in cuffs.
Oh yeah. Sorry. No, anyway,
Wendy's usually the reason for the cuffs. Anyway,
and
we're
a
back.
Show to do.
Sounds like he's either coming back or about to be tased.
You and your little dog too.
County Mounties.
Was it like? Did you just live an episode? Did you just live a scene from Super Trooper, Dwayne?
We are doing this live, kids. This is guerrilla journalism.
Cool. More like an episode from Finding Bigfoot.
So okay, let's start with this, Dwayne. What the hell just happened?
Oh, it's
and you're live on air, Dwayne. So
you know what it was? As I got served, it's no big deal. I got served with something. I'll go to court and deal with it. They don't scare me, so that's fine.
Oh, so you pissed off the right people. Congratulations.
Apparently, yeah, I do things.
I'm proud of you, Dwayne. You're one of us.
It's only a matter of time for all of us, right?
Really? Exactly. Really? I mean,
except for me, because I married one, so hey.
Well, my address right now is actually cause for bounty. So, you know, if you disclose my address, you get a
How much?
Yeah, how much? I know your address. Heck, I even have a key. Let's do this up.
Wait. You have a key?
He has a key.
And is it in Canadian dollars or American?
It's in Canadian dollars,
which I think is more than yours right now.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because I know I was booking a flight. I'm booking a flight tonight from Charlotte, North Carolina for BlogCon, and it's like, I don't know, like $400 US or whatever, but it's actually cheaper in Canadian.
Okay, speaking of Canada, this segues into the tear I'd like to go on as I pull up my riding crop and start beating the crap out of all of you Americans. Okay? Today, in the Senate, you kicked down Keystone again. You kicked down the Keystone.
Wait. We didn't do anything. Barack Obama called the senators and campaigned against
the Keystone XL pipeline from Alberta to Texas. So although I've discussed this on another show, definitely mine,
as have we,
somebody else's, I'd like to point out again, we don't care. Right, Andrew? We don't give a flying fluck at this point, whether or not
we know you don't. And that's what frustrates us conservatives, because we know that if we don't get it, China will get it. And so that's why those of us with half a brain in our head, or at least a quarter of a brain in our head, are saying, we have gas prices that are now $6 in California. And we kind of like to be able to drive to the grocery store to buy food. So maybe we should be looking at, you know, getting all the oil we possibly can. Just an idea.
And when you have oil issues, food is more expensive as well. Anything you buy.
Everything.
Because everything has to be trucked from one place to another.
Yeah. Despite what the left will try to tell you.
It's going to cost more. So basically, here's what's going to happen. I'm just going to draw a little diagram for those of you listening. The Keystone XL pipeline was supposed to run from Alberta to Texas, where Texans were going to be employed in droves to refine it. Now, the refining is going to be done in Alberta, where Canadians will be employed in droves to refine it and then shipped over to China, where the Chinese will happily pay us huge amounts of money for it because they're tired of listening to Iran. Just like the Americans should be, but, you know, Obama. So I just thought I'd point all of that out for you. Andrew and
I wonder if Obama's posture towards Iran has anything to do with something called critical race theory and his opinion of Israel. You know, it seems to me that Obama has a history that is not exactly the greatest on Israel.
He's not Jew friendly.
Well, he was raised Muslim. They hate people from Israel.
They hate
Jews. He was raised in a Muslim home. So, I mean, and especially in Hawaii, too, being raised in Hawaii is no different than being raised in Indonesia. I mean, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Barack Obama with Rashid Khalidi of the PLO?
I want to dovetail on what you said, Kimberly, because I think that a lot of people on the right even will say, oh, you know, Obama's a closet Muslim. No, I don't think that. I don't think he's a closet Muslim. I actually heard a comedian say
he was raised in that religion. He has those,
I think, values ingrained in him. I think that's the broader problem here. I mean, I heard a comedian, I think it might have even been Jim Norton,
that said
Obama can't be a Muslim because he said that if someone's going to pretend to be a Christian for 20 years, they don't pick Jeremiah Wright's church to do it in. But no, I think that he has those values there. I mean, look, I'm going to assume that he has anti-Semitic leanings. Now, I don't think that he hates the Jews, but I think that when push comes to shove, he will
choose someone else over
choose someone else over Israel. Right. I mean, we've seen so many direct and indirect snubs of him towards Netanyahu as well as to Israel itself. And I don't think I don't think we have a closet Muslim. I don't think we have a Sharia president, but I think you have a far subtler issue, which is that when there is an opportunity to side with Israel or decide or to go against Israel, he has time and time again picked the latter.
Okay. Kim's the only other female on this show, but I'm going to open the question to all of you. How many of you have seen or read The Help?
I have.
You have? Okay.
No idea what it is.
All right. So
Excellent book.
Excellent movie. Whatever. Anyway. So basically, it's these girls growing up in the South.
Jackson, Mississippi.
And they've got black servants, not slaves. This is in the 50s, 60s era. They're not slaves. They're house domestic servants.
They're nannies
and housekeepers. And the girls have been raised to view their nannies and their domestic servants in a certain way. And I think what Andrew's trying to say is that while, you know, one of these women wouldn't necessarily come out and belittle their housekeeper.
Not be explicitly racist,
not call her a nigger or whatever. They would not give them the same time of day that they would give to a white woman.
Correct. Yes.
And what Andrew's trying to say about Obama is that he might not come out and say, let's get rid of this Jewish problem, a la Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
But he won't necessarily give them any extras that American presidents have been doing for 60 years.
And that's what I'm saying. He is a product of his upbringing.
Yes.
I don't think it's intentional. It may or may not be, but I choose to believe that it's not until proven otherwise. And he may have the chance to prove that.
Somebody brought up Rashid Khalidi, and that goes back to something we talked about in the first half, too, with the media pretty much being in the bag for Obama with this videotape that is in hiding. The LA Times owns it, won't release it. But in this videotape,
that's right,
it's from a dinner with Rashid Khalidi, and the reports have it that during this dinner, Obama declares Israel has no God-given right to occupy Palestine.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. And Obama is there.
No, Obama said it.
He said it. He is at a dinner. And that's why they won't release it.
You know, we ought to do some sort of a picket of the Los Angeles Times to get them to release it. They owe that to the American people. As a news outlet. They owe it not to bury something that we know they have and they will not release.
We've been doing that with the Toronto Star since 9/11. They have pictures hidden away in their archives of Arabs in Toronto dancing when the towers came down, but they won't release them. Yeah. So, you know,
and Wendy had to do a solo dance number when Bin Laden was killed outside the embassy.
Yes, I had to do a one woman flash mob.
But you had Dom Perignon, though.
I had Dom Perignon, and I sang the Star Spangled Banner at the top of my lungs, not once, but twice, because a couple of ambulance attendants asked me to do it again so they could join in. So, yes.
Getting back to the original point, though, of the oil.
Yes.
We have this Keystone Pipeline, and the theory or the main.
No,
we don't. We have this suggestion for a pipeline, and the main thing that Obama keeps saying is we don't have time to do this study, but I believe it's TransCanada that wants to put it in. They've already said they'll go around the Ugalalo Aquifer. They'll go around it. There's no threat.
Yeah. Canada has bent over backwards to accommodate every squirrel savior and rat supporter across America to try to mitigate any potential environmental fallout and political environmental fallout.
And there was actually, I mean, even on the environmental loan, because the Saudi Arabian government actually funded television ads in Canada against the oil sands, Alberta oil sands, which is obscene. And they actually tried to have media outlets banned from showing pro-oil sands commercials. The Saudi Arabian government actually launched a complaint against the CRTC. because ethicaloil.org, an organization that talks about using Canadian oil, was running television ads. But the point I was trying to make is there was actually a study released a couple of weeks ago through the Globe and Mail by researchers from BC and Alberta that realized that the environmental impact of the oil sands oil is actually the same, if not less, than that of using foreign oil.
And you don't get terrorists.
Yeah, and it is ethical. It is exactly humane. I mean, this is the only time in the history of the world that you're ever going to hear people like Wendy and I talk about the ethical option. But here it is.
Let's face it. I mean, what are we going to do? We're going to sharpen our hockey skates, come down and beat you with sticks? No, you're not going to get a 9/11 out of us. It's
Poutine embargo.
Poutine embargo. There you go. No sticky cheese.
What I'm still trying to figure out is if this is not a matter of needing an environmental study on the Ogallala Aquifer, if they will go around.
I just like
it.
Hearing you say that. Can you say it again?
Ogallala Aquifer.
Like Ogopongo guy, like a year ago on the show.
You know what? I think that's actually going to be the name of my first indie band, the Ogallala Aquifers.
If there's no environmental threat to that, then why say that the reason they're not going to put it in is because of it, especially when you consider the fact that North Dakota, which is right in the middle of the Ogallala Aquifer,
it has the Bakken Shale Reserve.
It has an explosion of oil going on right there that could hook into the Keystone XL pipeline if it were there and move that oil down to the refineries.
Well, here's the problem, Dwayne.
Well, wait a second. The oil that's there right now is already being transported by rail, which is far more environmentally dangerous than a pipeline. So you could eliminate the threat of a train derailment by putting this Keystone pipeline in. But who owns the railroad?
Brett, thank you. I almost wanted to do the little horn.
The railroad
there's the key.
Burlington Northern Santa Fe Railroad is owned by Warren Buffett.
Wow. That is the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon live.
Well, you know what, though? Even without that, it doesn't really matter because at the end of the day, the goal of the Obama administration and the stated goal of the energy secretary is to get gas to European levels because they want to make solar power and whatever cheaper.
No, there's a broader point, though, here, Ben. And you touched on this, Ben. One of the biggest things that we're up against here when we're talking about the Keystone issue, it's not just Obama. It's the whole leftist establishment, both in Canada and the U.S. even. I mean, let's face it, the Canadians, a lot of them on the Canadian left are opposed to Keystone as well. But the part that never ceases to amaze me.
But they don't know why.
Exactly. And this is why I find it so hilarious is they're all opposed to it because they've been told they're supposed to. But if you look at the reasons and actually do interviews with them, and I know Ezra Levant, who you've had on your show, I believe, Wendy, I've had him on mine as well.
The only reason I don't bring him up as a source is because it's clear that he's being paid by to lobby. And that to me means that he can't be trusted with his information, which is not to say he's a bad guy. It's just to say he's no different from Warren Buffett.
Okay, but hang on. Where I'm going, though, is like he's done interviews and other people have done interviews as well with people that like in the left, people of importance, like people in media, people that are actually pushing the anti-Canadian oil talking points and asking them why. And their answer has nothing to do with Canadian oil. It's, well, we need to focus on solar energy. It's okay, but until that's reliable, well, let's make it reliable. Okay, no.
It doesn't work that way. Unicorn farts.
Works. Do you want Alberta oil or Nigerian oil? Well, we need to focus on no. Until and there's this complete disconnect. They're not even debating the actual issue, which is
it's called liberalism.
We're going to run the world on algae and unicorn farts.
Yeah, dilithium crystals.
Well, now here's the thing, though, and I hesitate to defend the president, but actually I think algae does have some potential
in the future.
Be some form of alternate energy, and that's fine.
Can you imagine if George Bush had said, "Hey, we're going to run the world on pond scum"? No one would ever let live it down. That's like right up there with Newt's moon colonization thing. Like people just like, oh, whatever.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, but that's actually not a bad idea either. But
I agree with Ben there. But I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with algae, but I really like what one.
That's quote of the day right there, by the way. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with algae. There you go.
If someone else wants to use algae, I'm not going to tell them that they can't do that.
We've got freedom of algae choice.
Yeah, freedom of scum.
Well, I love
which segues into Bill Maher on HBO.
That will be Sandra Fluck's new campaign, Free Algae for All.
That could be the Fluck of the day.
Yeah, but every time she opens the leg, there is algae, so.
Yeah, I was just thinking that. The pond scum is coming from her own personal source.
Wow. Was that Dwayne that just dropped off?
I have to hereby disavow anything that Wendy Sullivan has said on this show. I do
ever.
Not.
Yeah, Ben Swenson's
anything I've said ever.
Just for those of you who don't know, because I deal with this on Strictly Right when I'm pitching stories to Ben in the breaks, his grandmother listens to the show. So I'll be like, here's a really good story about like a school board that's talking about like gay stuff, and he'll be like, oh dude, come on.
No, come on now, that's not true.
Grandmother's
that has that remember when I pitched you the Glee story, that was your exact response.
Glee story? I don't even remember the
yeah
Glee
but story. When the gay kids were about to do like an anal romp on the show.
Oh, I remember that show.
Anal
I actually don't remember that. No, my thing is I don't want the stories that you send, not because of my grandma, but because, you know, they're like the story that this guy just sent us. Bad news, father. This comes to us from Slimeball Comics, by the way. Shout out to this guy. He drew a little comic of our show, Andrew, a while back. Don't know if you recall. He just sent us
a
story.
Remember that.
This sounds like a story that'd be right up your alley. Shenzhen father bites off 6-year-old son's penis.
I saw that on Drudge.
What now?
That's Drudge. Why I don't accept your stories. It has nothing to do with whether it's gay people or whether it's what. It's because this is a dumb story. I don't know. You know, actually, honestly, I haven't even read that story. I'm sure it's actually probably perfect for Dabbles in Debauchery. We should actually look at. But I used it because the headline proved my point. That, you know, there are some stories that are so far over the top that I just cringe. So I guess I have a bit more of an easier time cringing than yeah. you guys do.
So what are you doing on this network?
I don't know. I'm just here for the coffee, I guess.
Yeah.
Speaking of cringeworthy, I think our producer Mike is reminding us of a new segment that we are introducing to the Take That Media.
And how did that come about, networks. Andrew? How did
I don't think that's important, Wendy. What I think it's important where we go from here. And
really? This sounds like an Obama presser.
And I think that let me be clear. Let me be clear. when I was on a trip to Pakistan, I spoke with my fellow corpsmen, and I realized with the corpsmen in Pakistan. Let me be clear. I realized that.
Not bad, Andrew. Not bad.
I didn't have all the information, but.
Considering how this segment.
So open your hearts and minds to the Fluck of the Week.
Ladies and gentlemen, Fluck of the Week started off air at the top of the show when we were trying to decide, A, who was going to drive the bus this time. And Andrew had show notes that he wanted to share with us all. But, you know, it was Dwayne's turn.
Dwayne's turn. You made it Dwayne's turn.
No, Mike.
And look what happened. Dwayne got arrested at halftime.
Yeah, pretty much the way it went down. I was minding my own business and this was all thrust upon me. Okay. And the next thing I know, I'm in handcuffs. Screaming, Wendy Sullivan did this to me!
Andrew, you don't get to talk. You've wound up in the hospital in the middle of a show. Thankfully, you hit the mute button. But
I didn't. I left in the middle of the show. I didn't get there until it was done.
Fluck of the Week. Fluck of the Week this week starts with our own homeboy, Andrew Lawton, who wanted to do this show because he's an attention whore, who stole my date with Canadian pundit Jerry Nichols. This week to be on Andrew's new radio show. Tell us about your radio show, Andrew.
I now host a show on 105.9 FM in London. It's a 2-hour talk show on Thursday afternoons from 1 to 3. And I tweeted this bald Canadian that Wendy is talking about. I tweeted him like 3 days ago or something. And I said, hey, do you want to come on my show Thursday at 1:30, and he said yes. End of story. Then I get a tweet from Wendy.
Calling you a whore.
Calling me a whore because apparently she had a meeting with him scheduled. I had no idea.
Uh-huh. So
when push comes to shove, Wendy, he chose me over you.
Andrew is a little attention whore, and that makes him Strictly Right's Fluck of the Week.
I love how it's on Strictly Right now.
Oh, see, I always do that.
Yeah, but usually you forget Usually you forget our show name, Wendy. You don't bring it out of thin air.
Obviously.
Write it down, for crying out loud. Pen and paper, lady.
What is this pen and paper of which you speak? You're so 20th century.
Things must be worse than I thought in Canada.
We have the oil.
Where do you think you guys get your paper from? It all comes from Canada.
We have all the trees, too. Yeah. We have all the oil and all the trees. Neener, neener. He says.
Well,
yeah, I got nothing on that.
Yeah, if push came to shove, we'd just come and take you over, though.
I accept the Fluck of the Week award reluctantly.
Fluck
of the Week. I do love it. I'd be mad if it weren't such a clever name.
I think as many of our shows as possible should try to use Fluck of the Week. I know Kim wants to use it on Brass.
Oh, I want to use it every week.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Like the actual Fluck.
Yes. Gets used every week, at least.
Hey, Wendy, what did Sandra Fluck's left leg say to Sandra Fluck's right leg?
Nice to meet you.
Nothing. They've never met.
Ah, beautiful.
Boom.
That was great.
I know. I was thinking of it like all day and like hoping I could get it in.
That was like 17 likes in like 13 seconds.
Like, yeah.
I think that was misogynist.
It likely was. I lost a heckload of followers over my Sandra Fluck jokes. And it's not even that I have anything against her personally. They were just so easy.
Everybody else does.
I gained a lot of Twitter followers just a couple days ago because all I did was take a little segment of a tweet and copy it and then put a new intro on it over and over again. So basically it was, yeah, we're $15 trillion in debt, but who cares? Sandra Fluck has to pay for her own contraception. Sure, we're losing the war in Afghanistan. And
doesn't matter because Sandra Fluck has to pay for her
exactly.
own contraception.
Where are our priorities, for crying out loud? I know the border's open, but this lady's got to pay for her own contraception.
I saw a thing that they added up and they said, actually, the cost of toilet paper is more than contraception. So they said if she wants to campaign for something about women's health, wouldn't toilet paper be, more important to women's health?
Hang on, though, guys. I want to ask this to both Kim and Wendy on air. Now, I've had this in private conversations with people, but I want to put it on the table up front and be completely honest here. Where the hell does her $1,000 a year thing come from?
No idea, because if she goes to Walmart, it's cheaper.
Like, is there any type?
She would have to be having sex.
It's very, very.
Every day.
It's very, very simple. An elf came to her and told her that he had very, very special contraception, and it cost $1,000. So, she actually technically did pay that much. It's not that anybody else will have to pay that much.
She gave up her magic bean for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Even if you go to Planned Parenthood's website and look at their number estimations on what birth control pills cost a month, it does not come up to $1,000 a year.
And if you'll notice. And condoms are free at a health clinic, any health clinic. There's one within a mile of her school.
If you notice, now the thing is, it's not $3,000 in 3 years. It's just simply $3,000 for birth control. Why are they doing that? Because they want a smoke screen, and because, like Larry Elder used to say, facts to a liberal are like kryptonite to Superman. They just reject them. And we have to end the show there because I've got 10 seconds to wrap this up. And for everybody.
That was like 20 seconds ago.
You're not helping.
Says the Fluck of the Week that wanted to run this show, ladies
and
gentlemen.
Apparently, you
want to
close it. It's all
and
yours.
This is why I wanted to run. No,
all right, close it up, Andrew, you Fluck.
That's just counterintuitive right there. All right, Wendy Sullivan from Brass Balls Radio, Kimberly Haney, Brass Balls Radio. They are Salacious Sully and, creatively enough, Kimberly Haney on Twitter. Dwayne Lester, the All-American blogger. And what's your Twitter name, Dwayne?
Bodie1.
All right.
H-I-1.
And Ben Swenson is at Mr. Simple Sense. I'm Andrew Lawton at Andrew Lawton from the Strictly Right Show. We'll see you whenever the hell we get around to doing another Right This Way, folks. Have a good one.
Thanks for hanging out with the Take That Gang here on the Right This Way Show. All wardrobes provided by DIY Industries. All weaponry is optional. The opinions expressed on this show most definitely reflect the views of this station and its management. Join us next week when we'll probably piss somebody else off. Hey, it's what we do. This has been a production of TakeThatRadio.com. Thanks for listening.